Turn with me in your pew Bible this morning to Luke 6, verse 15. The title of my message this morning is, where this is the ninth disciple, James the Less. All right, and we'll explain what the less means as we go through this message this morning. We don't have a whole lot to read about here this morning about James the Less, so I'm going to just have two short verses this morning. We're going to start out in Luke 6, verse 15, where Jesus calls him. The 12 apostles, so we see where that's at as we read together. Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus. And that's his calling right there. We know who he is. We know his father is, and we don't know who his mother is. But then also turn with me to Mark chapter 15. So go back just a little bit, a few pages in your Bible. Verse 40. And I want to point out to you what else we know about James the Less. Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Some women were watching from a distance. Now, you got to remember, this is when Jesus is on the cross, and they're gathered there. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses. So you see James' brother is Joses, and Salome, which is another lady that was at the foot of the cross as well. And so we know that James the Less, his mother is Mary, that he had his father is Alphaeus, and that his brother is Joses. And that's about all we have about this individual, but it will give us plenty to preach on this morning. And so let us pray as we enter into a time here this morning. Lord, as we pray, we know that, Lord, these are your words in Scripture this morning that we read. And as we learn about this ninth disciple that you called to follow you, may you enlighten us with your Spirit. Lord, may you teach us about this man's life and how he lived and what went on in his life as well. Lord, may these words be your words, never my own. And I pray that you fill me with that same Spirit this morning. And I pray for those that have gathered here to hear your word and your message, that you fill them with that same Spirit. Lord, open their hearts and their minds and their souls to receive your word and to learn and to grow in your name. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Let me introduce to you a man by the name of Booker T. Washington. He's a well-known black educator in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Shortly after he took the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town, a wealthy section of town in Alabama, when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he would be interested in making a few dollars by chopping some wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, he rolled up his sleeve and he cut and chopped a pile of wood for this wealthy lady. When he was finished, he carried it in the house and he stacked it next to the fireplace. Her young daughter recognized him and later revealed to her mother the identity of this man. The next morning, this wealthy lady, who was very embarrassed, went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute, and she apologized profusely for asking him to cut wood and to take care of her in such a time, especially with the status that he endured and that he was a part of, and how well known he was in the area. And this is what he said to her. "It's perfectly all right, ma'am," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend," is what he added. And she shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endured him and his work to her heart. And not long afterward, she showed her admiration by persuading some wealthy other individuals from this community to join her in donating thousands of dollars to Tuskegee Institute. Mr. Washington was a humble man that was not above anything in his life. Let me introduce to you James the Less. He was a humble, meek, low-profile type of person as well. And so we're going to learn about him this morning. The ninth apostle, the ninth disciple in Luke's list of apostles that Jesus has called to follow him. The Bible records nothing else about this man. There's nothing in Scripture that lets him stand out from the group. He never obtained any kind of fame or notoriety. He never has a conversation that is recorded in Scripture of any kind with Jesus or anyone else. He's not the kind of person who stands out in his life. But he did have a very common name that we know of, James. And so let me point out a few other James for you in Scripture this morning. We have James, son of Zebedee, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of James, by the way. James the Less did not write the book of James, so don't confuse him with that. And there are a few more James in Scripture that I won't go into more detail this morning that are less known as well. According to Mark 15, verse 40, we know that James' mother was Mary, and then he had a brother named Joses. Besides that, very few details about James that we learn about his life. And so you're thinking, well, is this the end of the sermon? Is this the end of the message? Are we done for the day and do we get to go home early? And I'm going to tell you, no, we don't get to today. There's a few things that you need to know about this man. Just by his name, James the Less or James the Younger, we have a lot of information about him, what kind of a person he was. And so let me kind of introduce you to that this morning. And so Mark 15, verse 40 says he's James the Less or James the Younger. And so you need to understand that in the Greek, this is where this information comes from. And so we use the word in the Greek called micros. What English word do you think we get from the word micros today? Micro, exactly. Now, what do you know about micro in the world that you live in? You have micro. What does micro mean, do you think? What is it? Small, exactly. Very good. So we learn about a lot about the type of person that he is. So now let's unpack the word micro this morning, or micros in the Greek as it relates to James. Let me kind of tell you there's some things that I want you to know about James that describe his name and the type of person that he was. Now, the first one is that he could be physically a very small man, not very big. That could be one definition of James the Less or James the Younger or James the Micros, is what the Greek would have said in that day. All right, small in stature, short, very small-framed guy, possibly. Or it could speak to somebody who is young in age. Maybe James the Less is very young, and he becomes a follower of Jesus Christ in his life. That's your second definition. The third definition that is possible, and the commentators may believe that there's some influence here, that these different descriptions could all be rolled together, but the third definition is that he's a very humble person. He's meek. He stays in the background kind of a person. He doesn't want the attention of others. James the Micros. Notice he's not very popular in Scripture. We don't see any conversation with him and Jesus or him and others in Scripture. That's recorded for us. We don't know a lot about his life, so we think he likes to keep somewhat of a low profile. Some of you out there like to keep a low profile. You like to fly under the radar. You just go about your life and you do what God calls you to do. James the Less, more than likely, was this type of a person. Now, what we could do, and this isn't necessarily defined in the Bible, but all of these could describe him. Small in stature, small-framed guy, maybe young, Maybe he stayed in the background and kept a low profile. And so the word micros describes what kind of a person that he would have been. And so we can think in those types of terms to describe him in his life. And so now some of you are probably thinking, well, yes, that's me. I'm the type of person that's low profile, stay in the background, keep a low profile. But get this. Even though he was James the Less, he was still one of the 12. Just think about that for a moment. A guy who maybe wanted a low profile, maybe a smaller man, da-da-da-da, he was still called by Jesus to be one of the 12. Now, to me, if you're going to be hiking behind Jesus and he's doing ministry throughout the area and he's doing miracles and stuff, it's pretty hard to keep a low profile probably, isn't it? People are starting to talk about things. James the Less. Jesus called him for a reason. There was something in him that Jesus wanted to use in his ministry. He had something. We don't know for sure what that is, but James was called by Jesus to follow him as one of the 12. There's a reason why God called him. I don't know exactly why, but maybe he was called to give us an example of how we should live our lives and the kind of people we should be as far as being humble and meek and low profile as Christians in the world. Maybe that's a possibility. He never took on a leadership role that we know of. He never wanted recognition for what he had done. So we assume he's a humble, quiet person who did what he is called to do and went about his life. A truly humble person can be hard to find sometimes. Yet God delights to honor such selfless people. Think about your own life today. How are we doing? Are we humble? I want to add just a couple things this morning that we know about the life of James the Less. This is outside of Scripture. We don't find this in the Bible, but if you look through, as I did my reading this past week, in ancient writings and books that were written around the time of Jesus and stuff like that, there are some evidence that point to James the Less, that he was involved in ministry, that he brought the gospel to Syria and to Persia. There's some evidence there that he brought the gospel to these two countries in the time shortly after Jesus' death, when he's following Jesus and so on. He went and did some ministry. We don't know much more than that, but we do hear some. His name gets brought up once in a while in some of these writings that he was an important influence in those parts of the world about bringing people to Jesus Christ. But here's the point that I want to make with you this morning. That I want you to understand as you leave here this morning, even though you might be the type of person to keep a low profile, go about your life, type of person, is kind of stay humble and meek, God still uses you in great ways. I want you to understand that this morning, that God still uses people that are humble, meek, and low profile. You don't need to make a big splash to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, God would prefer that you don't, that you go about what you're called to do, and you live your life, and you share the gospel with others as you go through life. And maybe you're thinking this morning too, well, what gifts do I bring to the world? What has God endowed me with? And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not a leader. I don't know my Bible well enough and da-da-da-da. I don't know what to say or what to speak when I'm in these situations. You don't need to care about those things. God said, just be humble. Follow me. And we do that by staying in Scripture and by praying with Him and listening to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God can use you, no matter if you're low profile or not. In fact, the Lord works through people like this all of the time. Most of the time, we don't even know what goes on. It's simple, behind-the-scenes stuff. People don't say anything about it. I know some of you are like that out there. Once in a while, I hear tidbits of, oh, you know what so-and-so did, or you know, I heard what they did, and you don't know much about it. See, that's how some people like to work, and they do the work in the kingdom of God, and that's what James the Less was probably like. Stayed behind the scene, just did what God called him to do, lived a simple life. You know, we have other biblical scripture I want to read to you this morning out of the book of Hebrews that describes that what people went through that were not talked about much. Hebrews 11, verses 33 through 38 say this, as they lived out their faith, listen to what these Christians went through in Jesus' time. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. Now, let's talk about people that were followers of Christ now. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. See, that scripture talks about those who were not forgotten, but those who were not lifted up and exalted in a great way for the work of Christ. It talks about those who were humble and meek and went about God's work, and they dedicated their lives to it. That's what we're called to do as well. Many who serve in the kingdom of God go quietly unnoticed as they go about their work. Man might not ever see it, but God does. Remember that. Much like Booker T. Washington, the black man that I talked to you about early in this message this morning, who humbly chopped wood, he's never above what God called him to do. He rolled up his sleeve and he got in there and he got dirty, probably sweated a little bit and so on. He was not above anything that God called him to do. And may we never be above anything that God calls us to do in this life. And so for you quiet and humble followers of Christ, may this be encouragement to you today to continue on doing the Lord's work in your life. And all of God's people said,